Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. May our souls praise you. We praise your holy name. And Father, we ask that as we look at your word this morning, that you would give us a greater affection for you and your word. And that through it, you would show us your truth. Guide us by your spirit. Amen. Well, good morning again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord together. If you haven't already, please turn to Psalm 103. And some of you may have noticed as Daniel was reading that when I wrote the song, My Portion Forever, that we sang a little bit ago, I took some of Psalm 103 to write that song. And in that song, you notice it starts out in Psalm 73. The first verse and the chorus were written from 73, and then the second verse and the bridge were Psalm 103. And a couple years ago, I decided to submit this song and a couple other songs to this writing collaborative and to have it critiqued. I don't know if you've ever had something of yours critiqued, but it's rather uncomfortable. But I did it because I desired to be a better writer, desire to get some pointers and improve my songwriting. And the critique came back mostly positive. And the gentleman who responded said that he would have liked to have heard me stay in Psalm 73. And I don't disagree, but the hardest part about a situation like this is I didn't get to tell him anything about the song or why I wrote what I wrote. And so the reason I wrote it in 73 and then moved to 103 is because of the chorus as I was singing it. As I was writing this song and singing this chorus, I thought to myself, God, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I began to think about why I sing that. Why does my heart agree when I sing something like this? Lord, you're my treasure. You're my strength is what I'm saying. And I wanted to convey praise. And so as I began to think about praise, I immediately thought of Psalm 103. We worship God, we praise him because of who he is. I got the language from that psalm from David, and he got it from Moses, who got it from God. Look with me at Exodus chapter 34, verses 1 through 9. It says, the Lord said to Moses, cut for yourself two tablets of stone, like the first, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke, which we heard about this morning. Be ready by the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No one shall come up with you, and let no one be seen throughout all the mountain. Let no flock or herd graze opposite the mountain. So Moses cut two tablets of stone, like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai, and as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tablets of stone. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him, proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, please let the Lord go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for your inheritance. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is who our God is. He wants us to know him. He wants us to praise him. We praise him because he has told us who he is. He gave us the scriptures so that we could know him. So we could know that he is grace and mercy and faithful, loyal love. And these are the reasons why we praise him. And this is our main point for today. God's grace gives us every reason to bless the Lord. God's grace gives us every reason to bless the Lord. And our points today just happened to line up perfectly with communion. I didn't even do it intentionally. Point number one, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. Look at verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David opens this psalm by commanding his soul to bless the Lord. It's interesting, commanding his soul to praise God. He repeats this command 6 times in total throughout this psalm. He does it 3 times here in verses 1 and 2, and then he finishes the psalm 3 times in verses 20, 21, and 22. And we notice that in Scripture, it's said that the repetition of 3 represents the highest form of worship. Let's look at an example in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one said to another, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy. Bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. There's also a little phrase here that I don't want us to miss. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All that is within me, bless his holy name. This praise is coming from somewhere deep in his soul. It's similar to when we say, from the bottom of my heart. It's this deep, genuine emotion that David has. We should praise the Lord with all of our being. And here in verse 2, David sets his sights on what God has done. He sets his sights on the reasons why he calls his soul to praise. Verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. David knows that he is forgetful. We are all forgetful. And he commands his soul to remember what God has done. And these benefits that he mentions, David goes on to list them, are both spiritual and physical. And so what are the benefits? Let's look at 3 through 5 again. He says, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David calls himself to deliberately remember everything that the Lord has lovingly done for him and his people. He lists these 5 very specific benefits in these few verses. The benefits are that the Lord forgives, he heals, he redeems or rescues, he crowns with steadfast love and mercy, and he satisfies. Israel can look back and remember God's redemption at the Exodus. That's what David's pointing to here. God rescued his people from slavery. He brought them through the Red Sea. He forgave their sins on Mount Sinai. He provided for them in the wilderness. He eventually brought them to the Promised Land. And then there's for us today. As we read these same verses, we are reminded, as we did this morning, when we take the Lord's Supper, we're reminded of who God is, and what he has done for us. We remember that it was Jesus' body that was broken for us, that it was his blood that was spilt to cover our sins. He forgave us, and every day he continues to forgive us. He heals our sicknesses. He redeems us, as David says, from the pit of destruction. Praise God, he has brought us into his glorious kingdom of light. Daily he crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. And he satisfies us with good over and over and over again. This is why we remind ourselves daily who God is and what he has done. This is why we preach to ourselves the incredible gospel of Jesus Christ. We do it so that we will be filled with love for Christ, so that we will be overflowing with thanksgiving and praise for him, so that we will praise the one who gave up everything to reconcile us to himself. We intentionally, like David, rehearse the gospel, remember the gospel, and apply the gospel. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. And David, he doesn't stop here in his remembering. He moves on from remembering what God has done to who God is. And this is point number two. Remember who God is. Remember who God is. Verses 6 through 18. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. For the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to those who keep his commandments and remember to do his commandments. David knows who God is. Just listen to these characteristics. David tells us just some of the characteristics of God here. He says that God is righteous. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He abounds in steadfast love. He's forgiving. He's compassionate. He's patient. He's eternal. He's loyal. David knows the Lord. Verse 6, he says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Again, he points back to Exodus. The Lord works. The Lord acts. He has made known to Moses, he says, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, he says in verse 8. Again, here he is quoting Exodus 34. Verse 6 that we talked about earlier. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 are some of the most quoted verses in the Bible by the Bible. Here is just a small list of quotes. Not an exhaustive list, but I just thought I would name a few that are pretty much quoting this psalm. There's Numbers 14, 18, Nehemiah 9, 17, Psalm 86, 15, Psalm 145, 8, Joel 2, 13, Jonah 4, 2, Micah 7, 18 to 20, Nahum 1, 3, and 2 Chronicles 30, verse 9. I could keep going. You see, what I want us to remember is that this is who God has told us he is. So we should remember who he says he is. here in these next few verses, I love the way that David describes the Lord. And as I was reading through this week, I thought to myself, oh, I could turn these real easily into a question and answer form. It's just how I saw it. In verse 11, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him." And I immediately thought, oh, how great is the steadfast love of God for those who fear him? Answer, as high as the heavens are above the earth. That's how great. Verse 12, how far does he remove our transgressions from us? As far as the east is from the west, that's how far. How does the Lord show compassion to those who fear him? As a father shows compassion to his children. David begins then to show man's frailty and their mortality. And he directly contrasts it with God's eternal character. Verse 14, he says that God knows our frame, that he remembers that we are dust. Verse 15, he says, as for man, he is like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. Verse 16, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. This description of man is likened to the brief life of grass and flowers. It's similar language to Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 to 8, which says, the voice says, cry. And I said, why shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. We will all pass on. Our time here is short, but the word of God will last forever. This is who mankind is, frail and mortal. But God, he is everlasting. Verse 17, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children. Verse 18, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. This is who our God is. David connects God's compassion to knowing him, to fearing him. The Lord shows love to those who fear him. Those who are not gods do not fear him. God is aware of our weakness, and yet he loves us even though we sin. He loves to sustain his people. And this is why we bless the Lord. We remember who God is, and we remember what he has done. Point number three. One more thing to remember. Remember who rules. Remember who rules. Verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. This verse reminds us that God is eternal, that his rule is over all that is. Everything that he created it all that we can see, all that we can't see. God created it, and he is its ruler. He is the eternal king who reigns. And it continues to talk about this rule in verses 20 to 22. Verse 20, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers, who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So David concludes the psalm in the same three shouts of praise that he began it with. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, his mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. David here recognizes that even these angels, that when the angels would appear, they would all fall down like it was God. And he's saying even they are ruled by God. These angels of great strength, or angels, warriors of strength, as one commentator called them, these angels act on God's behalf, ministering to his people. Look at Psalm 91, verses 9 to 11. It says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. These hosts, his armies, more angels, more divine beings that serve God. David puts a cap on this psalm with this final triumphant, bless the Lord, O my soul. David praises his mighty God who rules all of creation. For us now, we can look to heaven knowing that the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, is enthroned at the right hand of the Father. He is the eternal one who's forever worthy of our praise. And so I ask you today, is this the cry of your heart? Do you praise the Lord with all that is within you? Or how about the question, what do we do when our soul doesn't feel like praising God? When times are tough, when we're feeling beat down, even then, remember. Remember what he has done. Remember who God is. Remember that it's God who rules, even when we're going through the hard time. Life has got us so caught up in ourselves, and we forget God's goodness. We need to preach the gospel to our souls. We need to command our soul to bless the Lord. Make it a habit of reminding yourself daily. Rehearse the gospel. Remember his promises. Remember Jesus' victory over sin and death. Anchor your soul in Christ. He is our only hope. His steadfast love endures forever. Remember that he has overcome and that we can find our rest in him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name. Forgive us for the many times that we forget your goodness. We thank you that you are merciful and gracious, that you're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Thank you that in Christ you have forgiven our sins and removed our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. We ask that you'd help us to fix our eyes on Christ, our Savior and our King. Help us to trust you in life and in death, knowing that Christ has overcome and that your kingdom reigns forever. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.